Well, amen. That's not on. All right. Gotta get the pizza off my face. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? You can't have a good time in the house of the Lord if there's something wrong with you. I remember years ago. Oh, by the way, the song that God Made a Way, I wrote that some years ago. I was preaching a revival in at Calvary Baptist Church in Batavia, Iowa. A good friend of mine pastors that church, Brother Tom Shipley, and before I preached the revival there, I wrote that song out, and I just scribbled it on a piece of paper, and I took it to him, and I says, put some music to this. And he said, okay, try. And that's about the extent of the conversation. And so he put guitar music to it. So that's the way we learned to sing it. And those numbers up there mean something. One, two, those are the chords on the guitar. They actually do mean something. And the year that after that, I took that song to every church and gave them copies. And you're the only church that sings it, so nobody else likes the song, amen, except for Calvary Baptist in Batavia. But I also wanted to share with you, Brother Tom Shipley, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Batavia, Iowa, is very sick. He has colon cancer, and stage 4 colon cancer, and it's not just his colon, it's spread through many other areas of his body. We were there when he had surgery, and he came through the surgery fairly well, but he had to go through several rounds of chemotherapy, have more surgery. And so I haven't talked to him, I haven't seen him since the second surgery. So I don't know how he's doing, but I know that he needs our prayers. So if you would please put him on your prayer list. Pastor Tom Shipley, and a tremendous man of God, and he loves the Lord. Matter of fact, he traveled with his family and sang in different churches, and they have several CDs and things, and we just love their music. It's, if you like bluegrass, southern gospel music, you would love their CDs. They're just tremendous. And so please pray for him. Also, there's something else I'm going to share with you. And I might even get around to preaching, but we don't know that yet. It's all up in the air right now. I might take a vote. You know, we'll have a business meeting. How many want to hear preaching? That doesn't sound good. How many would rather eat pizza? Yay, man! Something else I was going to share with you. Many years ago, my wife and I were introduced to Faith Promise, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and so we decided we were going to give $5 a week, and that was a real sacrifice, $5 a week. And but God blessed us. And it was $5 more than we were given the year before, amen. And God blessed us. The next year, I think we tripled it. And then we kept on, every year, we've kept on increasing through the years. And maybe a year might be a down year for us, so we only increased it $1 or $2 than we did the year before. But it was still an increase. I don't like going backwards. I don't know about you, but I don't like going backwards. And so I try to keep going forward. Well, 2 years ago, I believe it was 2 years ago, we were praying, and my wife came up with this exorbitant amount of money that she thought we should give. She says, God has really impressed me with this. I said, well, that's funny. God didn't impress me with that much money. I just man alive, I can't believe you came up with that figure. So I went back on my knees, and I got serious, you know, about this, and started praying. And the Lord impressed me also. So we've been giving $100 a week. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard coming up with $100 a week sometimes. And God has just blessed us richly because we have put Him first. And I certainly don't misunderstand. I'm not bragging about that. But I do want to brag on God because, you know, and now we're in a dilemma because we've been given $100 a week and our missions conference is coming up in October and I don't like going backwards. And she's already been praying about this and she's already got a figure in her mind. And we never tell each other the figure until the week of the conference. And so, and if she comes up with $200 this year, I'm getting a divorce. Anyway, that's all there is. No, God will bless you. Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I sure have enjoyed myself this week. And I hope you have. I enjoy coming here because I feel like I'm amongst family. Amen. And you always make me feel very comfortable, except when I came in the wintertime. I remember coming in the wintertime. It's just too cold and too much snow. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Brother Rice reminded me on Saturday when we came in that that he was also having this as missions conference week and missions emphasis week, and I told him, well, I'd come up with a message for missions, and so this is our missions message for the week, amen. And I always like to close out the week thinking about Jesus coming back. And so Friday night's always reserved for that. Amen. What we've got to look forward to. He's prepared some things for us, and I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to preach that message now, but we're going to talk about missions tonight. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for this time that we can gather in your house. Lord, I just ask that you would bless. I pray that we would determine that we're going to do more this next year than we've ever done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I am convinced that none of us will stand before Jesus and say we did too much. Every one of us will hang our heads and say, I wish I had done more. Lord, please help us. Please work in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we get into the Word of God tonight, perchance someone is lost in our midst. I pray they get saved. I pray for the saved to get right. I pray that we'd leave here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry I didn't make you uncomfortable. I thought about it after I started praying. I almost stopped praying and said, all right, stand up. But it was too late at that point. And now I've got to get Cranmerson. They're not going to be here tomorrow night. I've got to get them somehow, make them uncomfortable for that. You're getting demerits. I will remember that next year. Missions. The great work of the church. The Great Commission was given five times in the New Testament. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. John chapter 20 and verse 21. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Five times. You know, the Lord doesn't have to tell us something five times so we get it. But that was the commission that was given to the church. It wasn't just given to the disciples, because if it had been given just to the disciples, when they passed off the scene, the commission would have ended at that point. But it continues on. And I remember somebody saying that the thing that keeps the church going is the thought that Jesus is coming back at any moment. I got to thinking about that. I don't think that's really what keeps the church going. Yes, we're expecting Jesus to come back. Yes, we're excited about that. And looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, it says, "When I see Him, I'll be like Him." And you just feel like shouting every time you hear that. That motivates us. But that's not what keeps the church going. What keeps the church going is this commission that was given to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is the purpose of the church. This is the commission that was given to the church. Now, the church didn't give us a lot of, or the Lord didn't give us a lot of different things to do, but He did give us this one thing to do, and that's to reach the lost for Christ. I want you to think about missions. I've put it into an acrostic, and you're getting used to those by now. M-I-S-S-I-O-N-S, and I'm pretty sure I spelled it right. We're going to go quick. I've only got 10 minutes to preach. Because we ate pizza before. Amen. It's your fault because you voted to eat pizza. So you see how I did that? I blamed you for that. All right, the M. That's me. That's you. Me. As a missionary. Can you imagine yourself as a missionary? Say, oh no, I can't imagine me as a missionary. Well, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Go ye," who's that talking to? That's talking to you, isn't it? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye." Luke chapter 24, verse 48, "Ye are witnesses." John chapter 20, verse 21, "So send I you." Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses." Doesn't say if you want to be. If you determine that you're going to do this, no, it says you shall be witnesses. So that's me. I've got to take this seriously. You've got to take this seriously. If you believe this is a personal book, that this book was written for you, then you better sit up and take notice when it tells you five times to do something. Go ye into all the world. Somebody say, well, I can't go into the whole world. Well, I'm glad you talked about that. We'll talk about that a little bit later, how you can actually go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, when I got involved in missions, one of the things that was established in my heart is the fact that I'm responsible for a lost and dying world. And how can I possibly reach a lost and dying world? Well, through Faith Promised Missions. I get involved in sending missionaries around the world. That money goes to the various places in the world. We support a fellow that's up in up in that island up there, and we support some folks over in Europe. Ukraine, Prince Edward Island up there, and we support some folks over in Ukraine, where else? You tell me. I'm forgetting them. I'm going blank. We support a lot of folks. And they're all over the world. And that money that we give is going various directions, helping these people to stay on the field, helping them to pay their bills, helping them to buy the things necessary for the ministry, helping them to get Bibles, helping them to pay the rent for churches, and doing what they need to do to reach people for Christ, establishing churches in these various areas, and preaching the gospel. Folks, this is my responsibility. It's also yours. You know, you can't walk out of here and say, well, I don't have any responsibility concerning that. Yes, you do. You know the Lord is your Savior? Jesus saved you? Well, you are responsible then. You are responsible. It can't die with you. It's got to continue on from this point. And it's our responsibility to reproduce ourselves. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Folks, listen. There's a lot of responsibility that's been given to us. You know what the sad thing is with missions in this day and age? We've made it too mechanical. And it shouldn't be that mechanical. I'm going to fill out this card. Lord, what would you give? Okay, I'll give $25 a week. Okay, $25 a week. Which one do I put back in? This one goes in the offering plate. That goes in the offering plate. This will go in my Bible. All right, that's it. And then we give $25 a week, and then done. No tears. No prayer. It's just too mechanical. Every now and then we hear a letter read, but it doesn't affect us. This is going on someplace a long way away. My friends came to their senses and got out of Papua New Guinea. But when they were in Papua New Guinea, I want to tell you something, it should have broke our heart. And these other folks, no matter where they're at, they should break our heart. There's lost folks walking those streets in those various areas. I remember when I was in the military, we were in Germany. And I remember we lived on a third story, and our windows, you know, German windows, they open out like that. And I'd look out in the morning, about 10 below zero, snowing, and that all these people are walking someplace. They're all going to work. There's the old guy across the street with his milk cow going someplace. And there's the guy he just went and got some bread so he could have breakfast with his family. There's somebody else walking over there, and they just got a pitcher of milk someplace. You know, they're all walking, but they're lost without Christ. There ought to be some tears to think these people are going to hell without Christ. I remember visiting some missionaries while I was over in Germany. Listen, when we were in Germany, I was only 19 years old. And here I am, a 19-year-old kid, and we're driving around Germany in an MG that I just bought, and thinking I'm somebody. But I want to tell you something, visit these missionaries, and we come down to reality time and realize this country that we're enjoying so much, the people are religious, but they're religious and lost. We walked into a wood shop where the man carved statues and different things. In the back of his shop, there was probably an 8-foot cross that he'd carved out of one piece of wood, an 8-foot cross, and on that cross was Jesus. And I tried to talk to him, but he spoke German, I spoke English, and he pretended like he didn't understand a word I was saying. But I was trying to get him to tell me that he knew that Jesus wasn't on the cross anymore. And he said, he tried to make me think he didn't understand a word I was saying. A lot of those guys spoke better English than I ever did. But the fact is, they're lost without Christ. People come in and buy their Madonnas. People come in and buy their crucifixes. People come in and very religious people. And they have their Madonnas in a half bathtub out in front of their house, and they go to their Catholic church on Saturday night and even on Sunday morning, and there they are, crowds of people going in. I remember when I was down in Mexico, Fresno, Mexico, went to this old Catholic church, and on the inside there was the Stations of the Cross all the way through there, and I went to all the Stations of the Cross, and I want to tell you something. It was really a neat thing that they had there. But you know what was up front? It wasn't Jesus. It was over here in the stations of the cross. But what was up front, high and lifted up, was Mary. The people that came in, I saw people coming in, and they'd light their candles and they'd bow before Mary. Not one thought for the one who paid the price for their sin. Not one thought concerning Jesus. And then we went to this one church in Zacatecas, Mexico. And the church was huge, just a huge Catholic church. It was right in the middle in the square. And you go into the church and outside it was a beautiful building, don't get me wrong, but on the inside it was gold. People in poverty outside the church, but on the inside of the church it's gold. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Religion. And folks, this religion is sending these people to hell. They don't know Jesus Christ. They have their pageants and their festivals, and they carry around a crucifix where Jesus is still on the cross. And that's the way they think of Jesus, hanging on a cross. My Jesus isn't on the cross. Jesus came down from that cross. He was buried and came forth from the grave alive, victorious over death and hell. And I look to my Savior today to come back and take me out of this old stinking world. Missionary. Can you imagine yourself being a missionary? Oh, I can't go to the mission field. You just don't understand my health issues and so on and so forth. When I went to Bible school many years, just a couple of years ago, I went to Bible school and I had an English teacher at Bible school, and she was one of the sweetest ladies because if anything in this world I struggled at, it was English. I struggled with English. I struggled with sentence structure. I struggled with verbs and adverbs and all of the other parts of a sentence. And I struggled with those things. And she took the time, as a college professor, took the time to sit down with me and explain things that I didn't get when I was in high school. Now, I was a little older. I was 26 when I went to Bible school. And you know what? I appreciated her. Her name was Mrs. Johnson. Some years later, in 1999, I went to Kenya, Africa. And you'll never guess who I found in Kenya, Africa. Mrs. Johnson. Mrs. Johnson, who should have been in a nursing home, was in Kenya, Africa, working in a church with youngsters, leading people to Jesus Christ. She was excited about ending her life for the Lord in Kenya. Oh, I can't go as a missionary. I'm too old. I can't go as a missionary. I'm too young. I can't go as a missionary. I've got too many problems. I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't know, my Bible says, you know, yours probably says the same thing. I'm pretty sure it does. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The M in missions is me. See, I'm the catalyst for missions, believe it or not. And so are you. The only way a missions program works at Good Samaritan Baptist Church is if you get involved. That's the only way it works. Now, if you quit, you stump out of here and get mad. The preacher didn't smile at me today. The preacher didn't shake my hand. He was too busy. All these different excuses that people use to stomp out of church and get mad. Well, the missions program suffers. And pretty soon there is no missions program. You know, in Acts chapter 8, you see Philip leading an Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. He gets saved there in Acts chapter 8. You know, as soon as that Ethiopian eunuch got saved, Philip was snatched away and went someplace else. And that Ethiopian eunuch went away, it says, rejoicing. You know where he went? He went back to Ethiopia. Now here he's the only one in Ethiopia that knows anything about the gospel. All he has is an Old Testament scroll. You know what he started doing? He started preaching Isaiah chapter 53 over and over and over and over again. People started getting saved in Ethiopia. Great thing. You know what they call those? They call them Coptic churches. And many people have known the Lord as their Savior. Now, they might have got away from the true teaching of Jesus now. I don't know. But I think there's still some Christians in Ethiopia because there was an Ethiopian eunuch that came back and didn't forget, hey, I got saved. And he came back and started a church. And I have this feeling this eunuch became the pastor of the church. You know what? We have a responsibility because we know Jesus. Me as a missionary? Yeah. Well, I remember when I went over to Kenya, I thought, wow, this is the most awful country in the world. I thought then that Kenya was the armpit of the world. If you look at the map, you kind of see that little edge there. It is an armpit. Oh my goodness, it's hot. And you know, in Nairobi, I got off that airplane, I was hit with, the first thing I was hit with, heat. Just hit me in the face. And it's muggy. Oh, the missionary said to me, oh, don't worry, we're going up to Eldoret. It's not as hot up there. They lied. It was so hot up in Eldoret. We went down to Nakuru. Nakuru, I have never been to a hotter place in my life than Nakuru, Kenya. And when we were going down there, we went through the, what's that little thing that goes around the world? The equator, that's right. And we went through there, and I stopped and took a picture of the sign. This is the equator. You couldn't see it. You only knew it was there because the sign was there. But we went down to Nakuru and went through, and there's the huge lake that Livingstone discovered, and you could feel the power of the Holy Spirit of God right there because the man of God had been there. And of course, I'm imagining these things. I'm standing on the top of this huge motel looking down upon the lake, but sweating the whole time I'm there. And getting the opportunity to preach in areas where all these great pioneer missionaries have been, and seeing people get saved along the way. And then after spending 30 days there and preaching almost every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day, I wanted to keep on doing that. I didn't want to go home, but I had to go home. And I got home, and I said to my wife, I said, let's go to Kenya as a missionary. And she says, I'll write you every day. Every day. But, folks, you don't know what it's like until you've been there. You really don't. And I went back the next year and stayed for 30 days. And boy, I want to tell you something. You get the missions in your heart when you see the people. I remember when I was over in Kenya, they said one of every three people that you meet on the street has AIDS. One out of every three people. And these little kids would come up and they try to sell you plastic sacks that you get free at Walmart. They try to sell them a nickel, a dime, whatever, a penny. Whatever. Just so they could help support their family. One little boy was hungry, and I took him to the coffee shop and got him a roll to eat and a cup of milk. Just to help him out. There was a fella, last day I was in Kenya, I had him shine my shoes. He was a shoe shine boy. And he shined my shoes I can't remember how much money I had, but he shined my shoes and said that'd be a shilling. And I gave him all the money I had in my pocket. And Mrs. Moeller said, well, that was a foolish thing to do. I says, why? Because look at him. He's closing up shop. He said, they're not like us. They don't stay. If they've made the amount of money that he's going to make for the day or the week or the month, he won't work again until that money's gone. They're not like us in America. If somebody give me all that money in America, you just keep on working, getting more. But it breaks your heart to see these people lost without Christ. breaks my heart whenever I think of the people in Mexico that are lost without Christ. My brother's been in Australia for 35, 36, how many years? 40 years. Time flies when you're having fun. 40 years he's been in Australia and struggling. There's certain areas that you can start churches fairly rapidly in Australia, but there's other places where you struggle. Struggling. And finally he's got a church established over there, but souls being saved. I want to tell you something. Missions. Me? Yeah. You? Yeah. We can all get involved. The eye in missions. I better go quick. The eye into all the world. Into all the world. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world." Not just some of the world, all the world. By the way, I don't believe, as far as the gospel is concerned, the Bible, that there are any closed doors. Somebody says, "Oh, there's closed doors." You know, in certain countries of the world, this Bible is actually illegal. You can't carry the Bible. But you know what? There's no closed doors with God through the regions beyond. And folks, I can recall back in the 90s, we had a radio program on shortwave radio, and we reached many countries that couldn't be reached in any other way in the heart of these countries. We got letters from around the world. I still have letters from many people in various areas of the world. That's what really got me to go to Kenya, was all these people writing me and wanting me to come and preach in Kenya. And Nigeria. Nigeria is having a really horrible time with Boko Haram and all these ISIS people and Islam. I got letters from Nigeria, people hungry for the gospel. When I was in Africa, I'd hand a gospel tract. And when I gave somebody a gospel tract, there were 10 other people lining up. They wanted the gospel tract. I never had that happen in America. Matter of fact, in America, you give somebody a gospel tract, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be wadded up and thrown on the ground. But in Kenya, in Africa, you can hand out. We went to Uganda, and in Uganda, I had a stack of tracts like this, and I handed out that stack of tracts, which was probably 300 or 400 tracts. I handed those out in a matter of 10 minutes. They were gone. And these people were actually reading these tracts into all the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just for a select few, but for everybody in the world. The first S. It's shameful. There are people that don't know about Jesus. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know, we can spend our time talking about the weather, and we can spend our time talking about a hockey game or a football game or a basketball game. And I've wasted a lot of time talking about those things. But what really matters is if people know Jesus Christ or not. That's what really matters. I remember as I've traveled the world, we were up in Canada, in Ontario, or close to Montreal, and they spoke French, and we had the opportunity to go with a missionary up there and hand out gospel tracts. So I found one of these people that actually spoke English, and asked him if he had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he was telling me that he was a Roman Catholic and he'd been baptized and went through all the things, the sacraments and so on and so forth. And I said, "Well, have you trusted Christ?" "Oh, yes. We do that every Sunday." we ask Jesus to come into our heart every Sunday. That's something they started doing because they know Baptists want you to ask Jesus into your heart. But the fact of the matter is, he was lost as lost could be. He didn't know Christ. But I gave him a gospel tract and he promised to read it. But it's shameful that there's so many people in the world. They may have heard of Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus that we preach. And they may have heard of something that he did while he was here upon this earth, but it's not the same message that we have. Folks, we've got a gospel message and it needs to go around the world. The S, sinners are in need. Sinners are in need. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Without Christ, there is no salvation. You can go and do your good works and be good and do all the things that you think that will get you to heaven. Oh, God will smile on me because I dress right. God will smile on me because I cut my hair right. God will smile on me because I smell good. God will smile on me because I'm good looking. God will smile on me because I give to the church. Or I even go to church. Boy, I'll tell you what. God's going to smile on me and allow me into heaven. But those are the works are the works of righteousness, which mean absolutely nothing in the eyes of God. There's only one righteousness that means something in the eyes of God, and that's what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And he shed his blood there that we might be saved. Sinners are in need. Now, the fact is, the I in missions, it's ignorance that we see around the world. Look, if you will, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, if you will, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, down here in verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not after other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, they're blind to the truth. They're ignorant of the truth. They need someone to show them the truth. Remember that Ethiopian eunuch I mentioned in Acts chapter 8? When Philip got there, an Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip walks up to the place that he was sitting in, and he says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I, except some man show me?" Folks, we're needed to show people the truth from the Word of God. They can't understand it without somebody guiding them. Somebody said, "Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's for." No, that's what we're for. Let the Holy Spirit use us to show them. And certainly we can't go to all these various areas of the world, but somebody can be sent and we can support them to reach those people for Christ. The O in missions is one message, and there's only one message. I'm not ashamed. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's only one message. We can't take several messages, but one. And that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The end in missions. Never stop. Never stop. Well, never stop going. We've got to continue sending. We've got to continue going. We can't stop. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That commission has to keep on going as long as the church is in existence. Somebody say, "Well, we're living in tough times. We're going through a tough economy and all that." That's when we really need to work hard and send folks out. Never stop giving. If you will, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Never stop giving. Keep giving and sending folks out. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, down here in verse 13. It says, "Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men." Your liberal distribution. Well, I like that, those words. It's only a good time to be a liberal is to be a liberal when it comes to giving to the Lord and for missions. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's exciting. A lot of people. Can you imagine one day? Let me stop just for a second. One day when we're in glory, somebody you've never met before, somebody that you've never even thought of, maybe even never prayed for, walks up to you and say, "Thank you for your part in sending Brother Thrun. Because if he hadn't have come, I would have never been saved. Thank you. It's your faithfulness that kept him on the field. All these others, it's your faithfulness that keeps him on the field. Thank you." Then the S is a Savior offering salvation to a lost and dying world. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Savior is offering salvation to a lost and dying world. It's our responsibility to make sure that the message of that Savior goes around the world. This is what truly matters in life and for all of eternity. Missions. I really believe that. Listen, I wouldn't do what I do if I didn't believe that. I wouldn't be on the road. I wouldn't spend my time preaching. I wouldn't spend my time door knocking. I wouldn't do those things if I didn't believe it. I certainly wouldn't give my money. Listen, don't you think for just a minute that we could use that money in other ways? Don't you think for just a minute that maybe I could buy some new clothes? Maybe I could do more for my grandkids. I got a little 2-year-old granddaughter down in Ozark, Missouri. You know, we don't see her very often, but every now and then she'll talk to me on the phone, maybe. But, you know, I could buy more toys for her. I could spoil her more than I do. You know, maybe I could just retire. Wow. Can you imagine such a thing? No, I believe in missions. I believe there's a need. And we're needed to get the job done around the world. Do you want to make an investment for eternity? This is the investment. Giving to missions. That's the investment. Matter of fact, I'm glad you asked that. I've got a verse for that. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6. And I know you know this. And we're gonna quit with this, I promise. Sometimes preachers say, "I'm going to quit with this," and then we go on for another hour. But I won't do that tonight. Matthew chapter 6, down here in verses 19 and 20. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You know what the Lord calls those that are His saints? His jewels. His jewels. You know what? I believe that's the treasures we're sending on ahead. His jewels. The Apostle Paul calls them His crown. His crown. Those are the jewels. Those are the treasures that we're sending on ahead. And you know, through the years, I can think of many people that have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. At one day, I'll be able to embrace them in glory. You're the treasure that was sent on ahead. And I had an opportunity to be a part of that. You know, eternity is a long time. This life doesn't last very long. Matter of fact, it's fleeting right now. And we don't know how long we've got. We just know about right now. We don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow. But now is the accepted time. Now is the time to make the decision and say, I want to do more than I've ever done before for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we do love You. We thank You for this time that we can spend in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You take this feeble attempt to preach about missions and use it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to apply the truth to our lives and help us to have a desire to do much more than we've ever done. Lord, help us not to stand back and say, no, that's too much, but help us to say, whatever it is You want me to give, I'm willing to give. Lord, I pray that You stretch our faith this year. And I know these folks are givers. I know that. I know these folks have been faithful in their giving. I understand that. I know these folks want to see the gospel message go around the world. I understand that. And Lord, I know that to many they're already sacrificing. But Lord, what can we do to do more? How can we do more? Help us right now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.
Let's turn in our song with 306. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. We're praying about what God would have you to give, to get involved in mission, and being a missionary. Praise the Lord.